Good to have all of our visitors here today. A couple that I want to recognize, and I didn't get your name, but we have the McCluskey son with us, so it's good to have you. Where are you from? Are you from up Madison, Wisconsin? So I'm sure he drove the furthest to get the award today. And we have Herb and Reno here today, and Herb works with Treva, or Treva works with Herb, and so it's good to have you guys. Reno works with Carla and Murray, so I don't know them well, but I know this. Treva has the utmost respect for you, and as a man of God and a man of truthfulness, and so I just commend you for that. I think that's a wonderful reputation to have, especially as a salesman, right? I mean, salesmen don't normally have that reputation of being truthful. Amen. We're in Romans chapter 7 today, and I've titled this, The Battle Within. The Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock this morning and gave me a word for the Meltons. And it was just a verse, and I could have done this privately, but I wanted to do it publicly. And the verse, the chapter he gave me was Isaiah chapter 45. And I know one verse in Isaiah chapter 45, and that was verse 11. And so I've read it and studied it a little bit this morning myself. And I will just say that I want you to read that. I want you to read that chapter often. I want you, if you have the ability to memorize a chapter, I would encourage you to memorize that chapter. Because here's what I think is going on. I think the Lord is calling you to a deeper level. And I kept getting your children in my mind as I thought of that. And as I studied and thought, Lord, what are you saying to them? I think that you may be raising some ministers. And, you know, God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't say you have to be male to minister. We believe that God uses all flesh. And so you read this chapter. If you have questions, I'll be glad to sit down with you. But I'm 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake wide up, wide awake. And I sit up and I think, what's going on? And the Lord said, Melton's Isaiah 45. And I said, yes, sir. So I think that probably will provoke some questions in your mind. I hope it does. I hope it makes you hungry to say, okay, now what are you saying? Because I heard it clearly. Okay, we're in Romans chapter 7. Now I'm backing up a couple verses to verse 12. And I don't normally I preach out of the New King James, but I wanted to read this out of the NIV for you because I just felt like it laid it out a little clearer. So I do have that on the screen. If you don't have an NIV, you can just look at the screen. So let's read this scripture. He says, so then the law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree, I know, it's who's on first base, right? I agree that the law is good. And it is, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the war of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. You know we better pray after that scripture, right? Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for such an anointing upon the Word of God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to break this down so that we can understand, Lord, what you are communicating to us. So in our understanding, we will grow in grace and we will become the men and women of Christ that we should be. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for you to use me as your mouthpiece to speak this to where we will understand it. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The very first thing I want to say is this was Paul's writing. This was not somebody that just got saved. This was not a what we would call a carnal Christian or somebody that's just been saved for a few months. This is Paul. You get this? You got to get this first point. This is the guy who wrote a third of the New Testament. And he's telling us very intimate details of his heart, saying, I struggle all the time. That's what he said. I struggle with doing the right thing. I have the want to, I just don't always follow through. Because there's two natures within me. The battle within. Now, if you've been serving Jesus any length of time at all, you know about this battle. We just don't like to talk about it because in church today, we can't talk about our faults. Why? Because we got a gossip problem. It's called Facebook. We're scared to death if we say something in church that it's going to be plastered on Facebook for everybody to see it. Dear God, help us all. Let me tell you the second thing. He wasn't writing this to unsaved people. Go back a few chapters and you hear him call them brethren. We know the book of Romans is written to the church at Rome. And it's made up of Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. It's made up of all kinds of people. But he's writing to the church. Now, once you understand the premise of this writing, I think that once you understand this, you're going to sit back and go, wow, that's good news. Because I just thought I was a pervert. I just thought I was a terrible Christian. No, you know, the truth of the matter is, you're just normal. I'm going to say something and some of you won't like it. Your sin does not send you to hell. It's the rejection of Christ that sends you to hell. See, if sin sent us to hell, heaven would be empty. Because there's nobody that goes to heaven sinless. Now, I'm growing up Pentecostal. Buddy, I was told if I cussed, if I said one bad word, I better not die before I get to my knees. Where is grace in that? That can't be right. It cannot be right. And this scripture, I think, above all, proves that. Paul, the man of God. I'm telling you, Paul, there's Jesus and then there's Paul, right? Isn't that the way most of us read the scriptures? Well, Jesus didn't say it, but Paul did. And he's the one that's saying, I've got a battle within me. There is a huge battle going on. So, what is this thing about this law? What in the world? Is it just bad? The law is not bad. The law is very good. It's very spiritual. There's one guy that does a lot of witnessing on the streets. And he says this. He says, before anybody comes to Christ, they have got to see themselves as a sinner. So he asks them questions like this. Have you ever lied before? Well, yeah, I've lied. What's that make you? It makes me a liar. Right? And then he asked him a few more questions. He said, have you ever stolen before? Yeah. You know, taking a pencil from home from work. Maybe you haven't robbed a bank, but have you taken something that you know didn't belong to you? Yeah, I've stolen. What's that make you? And they always say, a stealer? A thief. We've all broken the law. So what does the law do? It lets you identify sin. I think the law does this. It puts us all on the same playing ground. It puts us all on the same level. You know what that level is? We're none, not a one of us are good people. We like to say that, well, he's just a good person. He's just a good man. Well, you better watch that good man. Because if he's not saved, he'll get you. You see, the good that we see in each other is usually Jesus. He is the one that brings that goodness out because we become more like him. Can I say this? There is a diversity in the church when we talk about grace. Some people are way over here on this grace thing where it doesn't matter what you do, what you say, how you act. Man, we're under grace. Some people are raised like I was raised in the church. If you say one dirty word, you're going to split hell wide open. You know, we try to find, always keep the bubble in the middle is what we say. We want to be balanced in this doctrine. But let me just say this. I really want to move towards grace. But listen to this. Don't ever be casual about sin. You see, we live in a society, 30, 40 years ago, you would never see a preacher dressed like I am today. You go to business professionals and they would be in a suit and tie. Even the women would be in a business suit, right? But today, even your bankers are taking their suits off, right? There's a casualness in the world today. And we brought that into the church and we purposely brought it into the church so that we could reach people. Because some people found it to be a major stumbling block that they had to dress a certain way to come to church. So we've tried to take that out and said, come as you are. Because it's not the adorning of the flesh, it's the heart that matters. It's the heart that God's trying to change. When God gets the heart, he'll take care of the outward appearance. The church for years have been trying to clean up the outside of the cup, and the inside of the cup's been filthy. So we need to get with the program. But here's my original point. Let's not be casual with sin. Don't ever get to the point where, well, yeah, I blew it again. No. You're missing this point of this message if you get that. If I portray that in any way, I have done you damage. You got it? Why? Because sin brings forth death. Sin is destructive in any form. If you are a person that stretches the truth and lies, it will catch up with you and it will damage you. If you are a thief, if you're hooked on pornography, all those things are damning. They'll all affect you and who you are. They'll all bring death to you. I believe that pornography is one of the worst things that's happening in our society today because all society is based on the home. And pornography is perverting the minds of kids before they get married to what really is marriage all about, what's supposed to happen. I hope you don't get your philosophy off the internet in any shape or form. But the law is not bad. The law is good and it's spiritual. But he says this, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. I'm fleshly. I'm sold to sin. In other words, before you get saved, you're hooked. We don't like to think about that. We don't like to talk about it. But you are serving your master, the devil. And he has so permeated your mind, you don't even know it. Let's go back to the nursery. You go back to this nursery and you deal with these 2 and 3 year olds. You do not have to tell them to be selfish. You do not have to tell them to hit the other kids, to bite, to do whatever they can to get the toy they want. Why? Because that's the nature they have. It takes the redemption of Christ to move that selfish nature out to where you begin to prefer other people rather than yourself. So what's the 2 greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, which is totally unselfish. But we're born selfish. it takes Jesus coming into our heart so that we, and the law identified those things. The law helped us to identify. Remember Paul last week, he says, I wouldn't have known it was wrong to be covetous had not the law told me that. And Americans, I told you last week, Americans are teethed on covetousness. We look at something and say, man, I want one. I want that. My mother, trying to get around covetousness, she would say, don't say that, Eric. Say, I want one like that. I think you're splitting hairs myself. I think whatever happened to just say it, I rejoice for you. I rejoice when you get something good. I'm carnal and I'm sold. I'm sold under sin. In my flesh dwells no good thing. I debated about making this statement for a long time, and I know this Treva is not going to, and Herb, she's really going to not like it since you're here. Poop stinks. Right? I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care if you're young or you're old. Poop stinks. Right? You guys can agree with that. I mean, sure. If you don't, I will take you to the Senior Citizen Center after we serve them cornbread and cabbage, and I'm going to tell you. It was always a bad day. I say that not to be funny, but I say that because it's a byproduct of the flesh. Right? It's totally. See, your spirit doesn't manifest that. Even your soul doesn't manifest poop. You know, your soul is your body, or is your mind, will, and emotions. It's your flesh. And see, if we could understand that flesh stinks, we would understand this. Flesh stinks, and the byproducts of flesh. What you do in the flesh, it stinks. You get drunk. You sleep with other people. It all stinks. There's actually a verse in 2 Corinthians that talks about the smell and that how Jesus wants to change our aroma, which I think is really interesting. When we first got married, now my smeller doesn't work real well. It got burned out when I was an exterminator for 5 years. But Treva's is like on spot. I mean, she doesn't miss anything, which like drives me crazy. You know, I can't get by with anything. So, but she's always telling me that I had it. When we first got married, she'd say, you got a certain odor. Well, I took that. I was offended by that. I thought, golly, I mean, we're just barely just dating. She tells me I stink. And then she'd say, no, I don't mean that you stink, but you have a distinctive odor. And she would tell me later that everyone does. Now, I don't get it. I don't smell you, Tanner. Is that good news? I don't. But isn't that interesting that we all have an odor? We have this. And when Jesus comes into our life, he changes our odor. Isn't that interesting? The Bible literally says there's an odor of death and there's an odor of life. And I want to smell like life. Have you ever smelt death? Have you ever smelt rotten flesh? Gangrene? Oh, one time, brother. One time. You smell it one time, you'll never forget it. Rotten flesh. I'm not trying to get gross with you. I'm just saying, as Jesus comes into our heart and begins to change us, all of a sudden, who we are as it comes before the throne room of God is not stinking anymore. Does that make sense? It becomes a perfume into the presence of God. I thought that was good. So the battle, the things that I want to do and know that I should do, I don't do. The things that I should not do and know that I should not do is the very thing that I find myself drawn to do. You really want to make somebody do something, tell them they can't. You can't do that. I know parents that do that to their kids, and I just want to say, don't do that. Parents, don't get your kids to mind by using reverse psychology and tell them. That's not good. All you're doing is you're instilling that nature of rebellion in them. So don't play those games with your kids. I don't believe in playing mind games anyway. But every one of us, within ourselves, we have this battle. We know that we should do good things, but we're drawn to do the other. And there's a battle. Do I do right or do I do wrong? I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you will be saved before you go to heaven. This battle will always be with you. Isn't that good news? You're always going to fight this one, guys. The only way to beat the flesh is to starve it out. You cannot murder the flesh and let the spirit live. You have to starve the flesh. In other words, who are you feeding the most? Are you feeding the spiritual man? How do you feed the spiritual man? By what we just did, worship. By what we're doing now, teaching the Word of God, reading, being in His presence, having that daily devotion. You're feeding the spiritual man. But most of us will feed our spiritual man if we're good. I mean, if we're really disciplined disciples, we'll feed the spiritual man 10, 15 minutes a day, and we feed the carnal guy like 8 hours. So how do you feed the carnal man? Facebook. I know there's good things on Facebook, but there is just a whole lot of garbage on Facebook. I'm not so sure which would damn your soul quicker, Facebook or pornography, because there's that much garbage on that stuff. So you may think, well, I'm just going to get on Facebook, and I'm not preaching against Facebook. I'm just saying be cautious, because there's a lot of stuff. And can I just say this also, just because it's a pet peeve of mine? I don't care what you had for dinner last night, and I don't think anybody else does. And I don't want to tell the world that I love my wife. I want to tell my wife I love my wife. Let the world think what they want to. But I get so sick of all that mushy, gushy, oh, the best gift that I could ever have. Oh, come on. Tell her. Tell your wife that. Instead, we go to a restaurant and we say, hey. Both of them. Have you ever seen that? Sitting out to eat and they're sitting there playing on their phone. That's my pet peeve. I'll get off of it. Okay. Every one of us have this same battle. Some people believe that Paul was writing to unsaved people. That's not true. He was writing to the church. It's a battle of good and evil, flesh and spirit. The flesh serves sin. And when you serve sin, you feel the condemnation of the law. What's that mean? When I mess up, I feel that condemnation. Now, chapter 8, verse 1 says, now there is therefore now no condemnation. A lot of Christians like to feed the flesh all day long and then stand on verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1. Oh, there, I'm not supposed to feel this condemnation. To those who walk in the Spirit. Right? You feed the flesh, you're going to feel some condemnation because the law is going to rise up in you and say, that ain't right. You can't talk like that. You can't treat other people like that. So there is going to be some condemnation from the law. But thank God in chapter 8 we're going to learn. By the way, chapter 8, I wish that every one of us could just pull that chapter number out of that. There just should not be a break in the Scripture right there. That chapter number should have come later, but because he's just really continuing the same thought right there. So next week we'll talk about the law of sin and death, but the law of the Spirit. How do you overcome this battle within? By walking in the Spirit, by following the Spirit. God saves our spirit instantly, and we're a new creation in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. But just because your spirit gets saved, you're still in that same old body of flesh. You still have the same soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Now, think about the scripture. He says you're a new creation in Christ. The moment you pray the prayer to accept Jesus Christ in your heart, you become a new creature in Christ. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing for our spirit. But our body and our soul is like dragging behind, usually with a heel stuck in the dirt. Because it takes time for you to renew your mind, for your mind and your will and your emotions to line up with what the Word of God says and how he wants you to live your life. In Romans 12:1, he says that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The flesh has to be crucified. In Galatians 5:24, says, "And those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And that's the battle. You are a new creature in Christ. You are going to heaven. Good news. Hallelujah, right? I think there's a lot of people that may go to heaven, but they don't enjoy the journey. John 10:10 says, "Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Have it to the fullest. I think too many people think the abundant life is the life in heaven. And I just don't agree with that. I think the abundant life is living an overcoming life here. That he wants me to overcome. Overcome what? Overcome that body of sin. Overcome that flesh. We have got to get to the point where we look ourselves in the mirror and we say, "You're not Lord anymore. There's a new captain. It's Captain Jesus. And I'm not going to let this hunk of flesh lead me. You're not going to make my decisions any longer. I will seek him and let him lead me." And this is called, we call it sanctification. Because it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. And that's why sometimes the church gets angry with each other and gets upset, because we'll see somebody doing things that we know are wrong. But you know what we need to do? Give them grace. Why? Because they're in a process of being sanctified. They're not there yet. They're going to make mistakes. And when somebody makes a mistake, they don't need you or me coming to them and saying, "What were you thinking? I saw you last night." How many times we've jumped to conclusions. Can we just allow the Holy Spirit to do that? The Holy Spirit is the teacher. The Word corrects us. But I've seen Christians use that Word like a hammer too, banging somebody over the head. I just think we need to have a little grace for each other during this process. We need to encourage each other to live godly, to seek Him while He can be found, so that we do become the body of Christ, which is supposed to be the ship that points the light so the whole world can see where we're headed, right? I'm not giving you an excuse to sin. Because if I did that, I would be leading you to damnation. I'd be leading you to death. Here's what I'm saying. I'm giving you grace. Just as He does. Guys, you're not getting this. I just don't feel you're getting it. I think the church has taught perfection too long. You're not going to make it. You're not going to find perfection in this body. We strive. We put. Paul said this morning when Ray was, "I press towards the mark of the high calling of God." But he was still battling the guy within. Until we lay your corpse in a coffin, you'll have the same battle. I'm just saying, let's give each other grace and let's give ourselves some grace. Not an excuse, but some grace. Paul says in verse 24, and when I read this, sometimes I almost just want to weep. And you may say, "That's strange, Eric," but I just hear this man of God that started churches all over the world and just wanted to promote Jesus Christ. And he looks himself in the mirror and he says these words, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Have you done that? Come on, get with me for a second. I'm not going to preach for 20 more minutes. I'm on my last minute or two. Have you looked yourself in the mirror and said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can save me from this body of flesh?" thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. We have one hope. One. There's one way. We have one hope that can rescue us from being this wretched man. And it is in the person of Jesus Christ. I love that verse. Oh, wretched man that I am. I hate this flesh. But thanks be to God who has rescued me. Every one of us are on different areas in our life. You know, I met a really godly couple one time. And they were really godly in most areas of their life. But I met them in the area of finance. They had not arrived in the area of finance. If they had, could have taken me, they would have taken me. Thanks be to God that I had a little wisdom too. You know why I tell you that? Is because you may grow at this level over in this area, but this area may not have had much growth. Does that make sense to you? And again, we need grace to mature. And you know, the Bible says this, that Jesus grew in stature, height, maturity, both with God and with man. And you will too. You will grow in this grace. What do I need to do? Stick close to Jesus. Feed the Spirit. Starve the flesh. So that you will win the battle. He goes on, he says, in my mind, I am a slave to God's law. In my flesh, I'm a slave to the law of sin. But in my spirit, I am set free to walk in the Holy Spirit. If you concentrate on sin, you'll sin a whole lot. If you concentrate on walking in the Spirit of God, you're going to do a whole lot better. In other words, trying to always think, I can't lie, I can't lie, I can't lie. And then you open your mouth up and you know what you're going to do? You're going to lie. I can't cuss. I can't cuss. I open my mouth, what comes out? I cussed. I can't believe I cussed. But when my motivation is walking in the Spirit of God, God, use this old flesh. Use me to follow your will. Use me so that I'll become the instrument that you want me to be. So my mind is not constantly on the sin, it's on him. You know what happens? Sin takes a back seat. The Spirit takes over. You say, I don't understand that illustration. Well, all my life I was raised to not do things. Not do things. You can't. In the Pentecostal church, you couldn't do anything except eat. And that's why most of us look like true Pentecostals. We look like we do. It's the only thing that wasn't sinful. Little did we know that's sinful. We couldn't dance. We couldn't go. We used to call it the movie house. Can't go to the movie house. Give me a break. More sinning going on up here than going on down here. Let's not concentrate on sinning. Let's concentrate on being the man of God or the woman of God that he's called you to be. Is there a battle within? Oh yeah, there's going to be a battle. You're still going to fight it. But I just want to encourage you. Chapter 8 is on its way. Chapter 8 is on its way. It's all about he set me free from the law of sin and death so that I could serve the Spirit of God. Stand with me if you would. I just want to ask you one question. And that question is this. Have you been too casual with sin? While there is a battle within us, I don't want you ever to get casual with sin because sin brings forth death. So when you find it in your life, you need to repent and live for Jesus. Ask him, Lord, restore to me. You know, the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Bible calls David the man after God's own heart. He was a murderer and an adulterer. We wouldn't allow him in the pulpit today. But God said, he's a man after my own heart. Can you identify with that? Can you identify with that statement, oh wretched man that I am? I can. And all I want to say is, Jesus, here I am. Warts and all, here I am. If you can use this hunk of flesh, use it. But I don't want to be casual about the sin in my life. I want you to view sin as cancer. I don't want to accept any cancer into my body. Not one cell. Because it takes over. So does sin. So deal with the sin. Ask forgiveness. Get it out of your life. And as He removes your sin, let Him remove the shame for your past, because He will do that also. So that you don't live the rest of your life with who you used to be. Does that make sense? I'm not who I used to be. I am who God wants me to be. Now, at this point in my life, I am the man of God that He's called me to be. Father God, I just pray for each and every person here today. I pray, Lord, that they have heard the message of grace, not watered down, but hopefully dealt with in a very honest way. Lord, You know every heart. You read every mind. You know that every one of us are in this battle. It's somewhere along that journey, Lord, we're battling this same thing that Paul did. I just pray, Lord, that today that we would look to heaven and we would say, forgive us of our sins and rescue us from this wretched man that we really are. Save our soul. Jesus, I ask You to forgive me. Whether I've been serving You all my life or whether I've never asked You into my heart, I ask You to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me. Make me new in You. Renew the spirit of joy and salvation in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Ray.